better.
When they kick out your front door, how you gonna come with your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law breaks in, how you gonna go? Shut down on the pavement or waiting on death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer too. Oh, guns of Brixton. When the money seems good and you like it well, but surely your time will come.
Well, I'll tell you what, you never know who you're going to run into. We're at the Republican National Convention, and I'm sitting here with Jennifer Beasley. And as somebody whose husband was in the Navy, my husband would be interested to hear this story. Her husband is in the Navy right now, but he is essentially being booted out because of some bureaucratic nonsense, really, is what I'm going to chalk it up to. Jennifer, tell the story. First of all, tell us your husband how long he's been in the Navy and what's happened.
Okay, my husband has actually been in the Navy for 14 years.
Wow.
He enlisted back in 1998. He's an aviation technician, and what has happened is last year the Navy decided to come up with something called the Enlisted Retention Board. It's also referred to as ERB, where they claim that congressionally mandated end strength is making them cut 3,000 sailors' contracts in the middle of their enlisted, and they only targeted sailors between 7 and 14 years of enlistment. So at the same time they're cutting these sailors, they're still recruiting at the same pace, and they are cutting them with no retirement, even though Congress has come out with TARA, where Congress will, you know, let sailors retire at 15 years now.
Right.
They're not giving it to these sailors.
Wow. So what was, I mean, obviously your initial reaction, you had to be devastated and shocked.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, right before it happened, I had my third child 10 days before it happened. So
Oh. It
kind of ruined everything. It was about... maybe 4 days after Thanksgiving, they actually gave us the news that we were being booted out.
Well, now for your husband, who has given his career, a big chunk of his life to this, it has to be just so, forget all the really important stuff like you have children, retirement, your career, the whole thing. It just had to be so disheartening for him. Was he just blindsided by this?
He's been blindsided, but it's also affected him to the point where, you know, he grew up knowing he wanted to be in the Navy. His grandfather was in the Navy. This is what he wanted to do since he was a child. So to have them come to him when he didn't do anything wrong, there was no reason for him to be kicked out, and then to have them do this to him, it's just absolutely broken his heart.
And so when you found this news out, and he's not out yet, but he's going to be out in September.
September 1st, yes.
Wow, so soon. And what do you do? How do you fight this? You're here obviously trying to talk to people. What are you guys trying to do to say, whoa, this is not fair?
Right. Well, I actually started, there's a Facebook page called Sailors Against ERB, and I've been running that since December. I started two petitions on whitehouse.gov/petitions, trying to get the White House to pay attention to this and to stop it from happening. I've also gotten some Congress members to write letters to the Navy. The Navy's responded with, sorry, we can't do anything to help you. You know, this was congressionally mandated. We've just been trying to get our word out there, so that's why we're here at the RNC, hoping that there's somebody here that can help these sailors.
And have you tried to corner a few of the politicians? Because, you know, this is the who's who.
That's... We have. It's been interesting trying to get near them, but we've definitely been trying our best to get to them. We've been getting our story out to everybody that'll listen, and, you know, everybody's just shocked at what's happening.
And, you know, the rule is, and as I tell my listeners, you get 25 people at least to call your congressman or a congressman or a senator. Then they listen because they know, okay, this is not just one, geez, we're sorry, but that's one person. That's 25. So are you working the phone tree?
Oh, we have been working the phone tree. We've contacted, you know, everybody we can possibly think of. You know, we've got lawyers involved with it as well, trying to help us. So, you know, there's a lawsuit in the Federal Court of Claims going with this as well, trying to help these sailors.
What do the lawyers say about the Sailors Against ERB?
Well, they definitely said the Enlisted Retention Board was not necessary, that they didn't use proper authority to do it. So that's why they've actually filed a suit against the Navy.
So the question becomes then, why heavily recruit? I was watching a tube the other day, lots of Navy commercials. In fact, showing aircraft carrier what a great career this is and dump people who have all that experience?
Exactly right. You know, I'm actually here with a friend of mine whose husband is a recruiter, and he was also affected by this ERB. So for the last 9 months, he's known he's been losing his job and has been recruiting at the same pace. They have not slowed down recruiting at all, but have still been recruiting, and he's recruiting for his job.
So when you ask these questions, what are the answers you get back? Sorry, this is how it goes?
Basically, they have no answers for us. That when we've talked to some admirals, and their answer is, I don't have an answer for that.
Wow. It just seems so crazy and counterproductive, especially where, you know, in this country, we're talking about job losses, and we're talking about deficits and budgets. So why increase the budget to go and recruit people? Because it's not cheap to print brochures across all the states, to open up, have your offices still running. I don't care what you're doing. That's an expense. They're putting out television commercials, and the networks don't care. They're taking the money. They're not giving the Navy a break on the recruiting spots. So why, my goodness, why, oh, why would this become policy? It's almost like it got slipped in overnight and nobody raised their hand, because so much part of the problem, and I talk about this all the time on the show, is there's so much bureaucracy that things get slipped in. It's like a pie where it's supposed to be blueberry, but now, oh, it doesn't taste that way because there's 50 different flavors in it. And maybe this is part of what happened here. Somebody said, oh, we got to make cuts. But why would you be making cuts, for goodness sake, while you're still hiring at the same time?
Exactly.
What you said, and I feel so badly for your husband. That's just got to be a terrible thing. And thank you for his service. That's awful. What is he hoping the outcome will be? Is he wanted to stay in the Navy, and this was his, I mean, that's rough. That's his baby. That's his thing.
That is. You know, he definitely still wants to continue to serve his country. That's what he wanted to do. He's joined the reserves is what he's planning on doing when he gets out of this, because he still wants to serve. You know, there's 2,945 other of these sailors that are going through the same thing. So, you know, it's a mixed emotion. They trusted the Navy to take care of them, and they took care of the Navy for the past, you know, like my husband, 14 years, but now the Navy's not taking care of them. So it's a 50-50 down the middle, I think, between them.
And all the people that you mentioned, a lot of them, you said this, it's at least usually 7 years or so. You've been in 7 years?
No less than seven.
Yeah, wow. And that's kind of interesting, too, because then you think about the benefits. So ultimately, the retirement, which is part of the deal and part of the service and whatnot. Wow. And so you're working on this, you're fighting it, you're getting the word out, you're talking to people as much as possible, and you're not going to let this, you know, once it happens to them, you're just going to keep on fighting the good fight, right?
You've got it. You know, one thing that we joke about all the time is the Navy wife is the toughest job in the Navy. So they've trained us well to fight this, and we're not going to give up the battle. We're going to keep fighting.
What do you hear from the other wives, the other families? Same thing, that they're just devastated. They all have their own personal story as to what, how many children and what the career has been. And
right. Everybody has their own, you know, heartbreaking story, you know, how long they've been in. And, you know, there's actually been two sailors, as sad as this is, that have actually taken their own lives because they were selected for the Enlisted Retention Board. And that was actually one of the cause of death on their certificate, because they couldn't handle what had happened to them. So
what we've just, you know, 40 seconds left. What can somebody listening to the show do to help you?
Please, please, please go onto the Sailors Against ERB Facebook page, and then also sign the White House petition. You'll see it on there. It's talking about stopping the military from breaking enlisted sailors' contracts.
And I would add, call your congressman or your senator.
Yes, ma'am.
Because if other people who don't even have a connection to the Navy call, trust me, then it becomes something people listen to. Jennifer, you're a delight. I wish you and your family the best.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back with more on America Tonight.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Iodine Protection Packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
hempusa.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Well, East Coast girls are hip, I really dig those styles they wear. And the Southern girls with the way they talk, they knock me out when I'm down there. The Midwest farmer's daughters really make you feel alright. And the Northern girls with the way they kiss, they keep their voice.
From the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida. Thank goodness we dodged a bullet with Isaac. Unfortunately, we're seeing that New Orleans is really getting slammed, Baton Rouge and some of those areas in Louisiana. About 650,000 people are without power in 5 states due to Isaac. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Right now, Gary Schwartz joins us, and he is the master marketer when it comes to all things technology. At least that's what my pal Greg Stebbins told me anyway. And so he's written a book too called Impulse Economy, and he's got an ebook out. What's your ebook?
The book's coming out next month. It's going to be called Fast Shopper, Slow Store.
I like it. The title is excellent. So, Gary, what worked so well for Obama in 2008 that really pushed him over the top?
Well, I mean, he was the first to really use social media effectively and sort of get into what I call sort of politics 2.0. So, that, you know, get away from broadcasting a message and get more into the modality of getting your message distributed by your loyalists or your fans or obviously the voting public. And he did that really effectively. And this election, people are trying to emulate that.
Yeah, and so the Romney people, what are they doing? They're trying to do the same thing, emulate what he did, and then add an extra kick, like perhaps with more mobile marketing?
You know, I think we've passed the point where it's about broadcast. And although people still spend a huge amount of money on broadcast, it's about that two-way dialogue. And the two-way dialogue that happens on social media, you can't really dictate through just spending money. on a media buy. It's more about authenticity. So the voting public wants to hear about your message from their friends. They want to talk about your message in social media. And through that, they're going to push from, you know, a would-be voter to an actual voter. And that's tricky because you can't just throw money at the problem. And so, you know, obviously there are Twitter channels and other social media channels, but it's more profound than that. I think, you know, the person who wins is the one whose loyalist base are the most vocal.
Yeah, there you go, or the most vocal. And as you said, it's the two-way conversation. You know, with sometimes with listeners, we go through this with technology. There's still people, even younger people, even the millennial generation, who aren't quick on the draw to adopt some of this. I don't know why that is. And this leaves my lips, I always have to be taught everything at least twice. But then once I learn how to use it, I'm in love with it, and I can't believe I even resisted it. Do you think that I'm wrong, we're seeing less resistance to that?
You know, it's obviously a generational thing. People do not adopt based on some sort of exterior demand. They have to adopt from within. They feel comfortable with it. It's not going to be because of Obama, because of Romney, that people adopt a certain channel. But the reality is if a certain generation is talking to the younger generation that's in college through SMS or through, you know, Twitter, or they're getting their images through Facebook or Instagram, then if Romney or Obama hit the same channels, they will consume those channels. And so, you know, you're piggybacking on that pickup. And it, because of the intergenerational communication, you're getting an older segment of the generation picking up on those channels. So the reality is it's not just about hearing the messages of the candidates. You also have to move the voting, you know, the would-be voter to the polls, to actually vote. And that's the biggest challenge we have. It's the same as I discussed in my book about brand. It's one thing to have somebody like your brand. It's another to have somebody actually pick up your brand at the store, put in the basket, and check out. And the reality is, if you looked at, you know, 2006, you had 68% of voters committed to vote. Only 40% actually voted. So the person who wins is the person who can take the people who say they're going to vote and convert them to actual voters. And that's really the big media challenge for the two candidates.
Yeah, that was my question. How do you convert them? If I'm, you know, I work for a media company and that's what they want me to do. Okay, great. I'm handing out cards at the convention. Here's my Twitter. We'll tweet you all the updates and all this other stuff. And here's the Facebook. How do I convert those people? How do I convert the younger people? I talked to someone today, and that's exactly what they're working on. They're calling it Generation of One. How do you work on that conversion?
Sure. So a lot of people will say, I mean, let's look at media just generally. A lot of people will want to tune into your radio show. But at the last minute, something comes up, they get busy. You know, media talks about driving tune-in, right? So you spend some dollars on you know, pushing out to people who are loyalists, who like your show, and reminding them that in 5 minutes, you're on air. And that's really what has to happen. You have your base of loyalists you know are going to vote. And then you need to be able to be relevant to them right at the point where they're marching out to the voting booth. And that's something that you have to develop a one-to-one channel with them so that you can reach out to them through SMS, through Twitter, through social feeds that will hit them right at point of decision. Brands call this path to purchase. It's very relevant for brands, you know, to associate that the brand philosophy with somebody who's trying to get elected. You have to make sure that all the messaging points to the voting booth, and that there's no interruption. Because any interruption of that messaging, people will abandon intent, and that's the biggest challenge. If there's any interruption in the communication, if you don't get to them just before they're about to make that decision, they will abandon intent and go out and have dinner and miss the opportunity to go out and vote for you.
Well, but the great thing is, right, that Gary, that in our country, unlike some other countries, you can push this message right till somebody goes into the voting booth. With Twitter or Facebook or anything.
And that's really the opportunity, is to develop that sort of, you know, politics 2.0, the two-way dialogue, where it's not just about the broadcast message, because that's great out of the gate. But just before, you know, that magical moment, you need to be able to hit those people and hit them hard on channels that they will open within the hour, not within the week. And so maybe email, even email is not necessarily a great direct response vehicle. You want to use much more sort of relevant channels, which are those social channels that people are in and out of, you know, every hour of the day, which is like Twitter, SMS, obviously MMS, and other channels like Facebook, Instagram. Those are the channels that you need to push hard in that closing month to make sure that, and also obviously the closing week, to make sure that people know what they need to do on demand.
And we started to go down this road because we talked about brand, and you say, well, that's great if people like the brand, but then it's all about the convergence and converting it, like converting the vote, for example. And isn't it about, obviously, the first you got to establish that great brand, though. Like Obama had the bumper sticker that was perfect, hope and change. And as you say, he didn't, in his case, he didn't stray from that. That was what the sign said. There wasn't different bumper stickers out there. It was that, and you knew it. That was his baby. Because now people, of course, Republicans are making fun of it, saying, yeah, hope and change what? But it really was the brand. So isn't that what Romney has to do? He doesn't really have that.
Well, I mean, so we can't solve everybody's problems on a few minutes of talking about media, but the reality is that the brand is a longer sale. You know, you sell somebody on a brand over a long period of time. It's really a full year sale, you know, when you're selling somebody on the party and the principles of the party. What happens is right now, people are of course you have your voters that are on the fence, but really you have two camps, those guys who decided to, you know, vote Republican and those people who have decided to vote Democrat. Those are your loyalists, and those are the ones you really have to stay on hard and make sure that you can be relevant to them, because those are the ones that you know you have their vote, and all you have to do is get that 68% of people who think are going to vote and make sure that you get them all to vote. That's a better investment of your media dollars than going after the undecided or the folk that will never vote for you. So what the social channel does, the two-way channel, is develop a committed relationship to your loyalists. And you should sink all your media dollars into that channel at this point, because you're late into the day. Branding is great, but really the branding needs to, at this point, reinforce your position with your loyalist supporters.
Yeah, I like that. You're late into the day. You've just given me like 10 ideas in my own world. Gary Schwartz, thanks so much for coming on the show. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you for inviting me.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products, like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet, or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's AFFINITY HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
America, land of the free. But how free can you be, really, when internet viruses and malware can attack your computer? Sure, you have antivirus protection, but it's not free, is it? Until now. Now, Zone Alarm offers free antivirus protection. And independent studies show that Zone Alarm provides better malware protection than even Norton and McAfee. And they're not free, are they? Declare your freedom and go to GetBetterForFree.com. That's GetBetterForFree.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Can't buy me love, love, can't buy me love. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel alright.
The big quote, of course, coming out of last night's speakers at the Republican National Convention, truly, really the kickoff. Everyone wanted to see what Ann Romney was going to say, and also the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. Ann Romney's quote, and you're going to hear the meat of her speech coming up, but her big quote was, a storybook marriage, no, not at all. What Mitt Romney and I have is a real marriage. And she goes on in her speech to talk about, you know, five kids, little boys, screaming little boys, and dealing with MS and breast cancer and whatnot. And I think the crowd really embraced her, and she humanized Mitt Romney, and that was the idea. Here is a chunk of her speech.
I want to talk to you tonight not about politics and not about party. And while there are many important issues we'll hear discussed in this convention and throughout this campaign, tonight I want to talk to you from my heart about our hearts. I want to talk not about what divides us, but what holds us together as an American family. I want to talk to you tonight about that one great thing that unites us, that one great thing that brings us our greatest joy when times are good, and the deepest solace in our dark hours. Tonight, I want to talk to you about love. I want to talk to you about the deep and abiding love I have for a man I met at a dance many years ago, and the profound love I have, and I know we share, for this country. I want to talk to you about that love so deep, only a mother can fathom it. The love we have for our children and our children's children. And I want us to think tonight about the love we share for those Americans, our brothers and our sisters, who are going through difficult times, whose days are never easy, nights are always long, and whose work never seems done. They are here among us tonight in this hall. They are here in neighborhoods across Tampa and all across America. The parents who lie awake at night side by side, wondering how they'll be able to pay the mortgage or make the rent. The single dad who's working extra hours tonight so that his kids can buy some new clothes to go back to school, can take a school trip or play a sport. So his kids can feel, you know, just like other kids. And the working moms who love their jobs but would like to work just a little less to spend more time with the kids. But that's just out of the question with this economy. Or how about that couple who would like to have another child but wonder how they'll afford it? I have been all across this country, and I know a lot of you guys. And I have seen and heard stories of how hard it is to get ahead now. You know what? I've heard your voices. They've said to me, I'm running in place and we just can't get ahead. Sometimes I think that late at night, if we were all silent for just a few moments and listened carefully, we could hear a collective sigh from the moms and dads across America who made it through another day and know that they'll make it through another one tomorrow. But in the end of that day moment, they just aren't sure how. And if you listen carefully, you'll hear the women sighing a little bit more than the men. It's how it is, isn't it? It's the moms who have always had to work a little harder to make everything right. It's the moms of this nation, single, married, widowed, who really hold this country together. We're the mothers. We're the wives. We're the grandmothers. We're the big sisters. We're the little sisters, and we are the daughters. You know it's true, don't you? Favorite fans down there. You are the ones that have to do a little bit more, and you know what it's like to work a little harder during the day to earn the respect you deserve at work. And then you come home at night and help with a book report just because it has to be done. You know what those late night phone calls with an elderly parent are like and the long weekend drives just to see how they're doing. You know the fastest route to the local emergency room and which doctors actually answer the phone call when you call at night. By the way, I know all about that. You know what it's like to sit in that graduation ceremony and wonder how it was that so many long days turned to years that went by so quickly. You are the best of America. You. You are the hope of America. There would not be an America without you. Tonight, we salute you and sing your praises. I'm not sure if men really understand this, but I don't think there's a woman in America who really expects her life to be easy. In our own ways, we all know better. You know what? And that's fine. We don't want easy. But the last few years have been harder than they needed to be. It's all the little things that Pat, the price at the pump you just can't believe, the grocery bills that just get bigger, all those things that used to be free, like school sports, are now one more bill to pay. It's all the little things that pile up to become big things, and the big things, the good jobs, the chance at college, that home you want to buy, just get harder. Everything has become harder. We're too smart to know there aren't easy answers, but we're not dumb enough to accept that there aren't better answers. at a high school dance comes in. His name is Mitt Romney, and you should really get to know him. I could tell you why I fell in love with him. He was tall, laughed a lot. He was nervous. Girls like that. It shows a guy's a little intimidated. He was nice to my parents, but he was also really glad when they weren't around. I don't mind that, but more than anything, he made me laugh. Some of you might not know this, but I am the granddaughter of a Welsh coal miner. He was determined that his kids get out of the mines. My dad got his first job when he was 6 years old in a little village in Wales called Nanty Hufflin, cleaning bottles at the Collier's Arms. When he was 15, Dad came to America. In our country, he saw hope and an opportunity to escape from poverty. He moved to a small town in the great state of Michigan. Michigan! There he started the business, one he built by himself, by the way. He raised a family, and he became mayor of our town. My dad would often remind my brothers and me how fortunate we were to grow up in a place like America. He wanted us to have every opportunity that came with life in this country, and so he pushed us to be our best and give our all. Inside the houses that lined the streets of our town, there were a lot of good fathers teaching their sons and daughters those same values. I didn't know it at the time, but one of those dads was my future father-in-law, George Romney. Dad never graduated from college. Instead, he became a carpenter. He worked hard, he became the head of a car company, and then the governor of Michigan. When Mitt and I met and fell in love, we were determined not to let anything stand in the way of our life together. I was an Episcopalian. He was a Mormon. We were very young, both still in college. There were many reasons to delay marriage, and you know what? We just didn't care. We got married and moved into a basement apartment. We walked to class together, shared the housekeeping, ate a lot of pasta and tuna fish. Our desk was a door propped up on sawhorses. Our dining room table was a fold-down ironing board in the kitchen. But those were the best days. Then our first son came along. All at once, I'm 22 years old with a baby and a husband who's going to business school and law school at the same time. And I can tell you, probably like every other girl who finds herself in a new life far from family and friends, with a new baby and a new husband, that it dawned on me that I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into. Well, that was 42 years ago. I've survived. We now have 5 sons and 18 beautiful grandchildren. I'm still in love with that boy I met at a high school dance, and he still makes me laugh. I read somewhere that Mitt and I have a storybook marriage. Well, let me tell you something. In the storybooks I read, there never were long, long, rainy winter afternoons in a house with 5 boys screaming at once. And those storybooks never seem to have chapters called MS or breast cancer. A storybook marriage? Nope, not at all. What Mitt Romney and I have is a real marriage.
Who says people aren't paying attention to what's happening at the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida? Looking at the numbers, as far as the networks are concerned, NBC, the most listeners with 5.3 million. Thanks to Matt Johnson for that little factoid, but 5.3 million. Do you know ABC, by comparison, had 2.3 million viewers watching what happened on Tuesday night? Wednesday night is a big night, of course. Condi Rice and others speaking as well. Stay with us. More next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy. The best you can buy.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Broadcasting from Radio Row in Tampa, Florida, just stone's throw away from the Forum, where, of course, you're hearing all the speeches each and every night. Ann Romney had her moment. We're going to talk about that in a second with Austin Hill. He wrote White House Confidential, and he's written a new book called The Virtues of Capitalism. Austin, on Radio Row, it's kind of like the who's who, sort of the rock stars of C-SPAN, and we've gotten to talk to a lot of them, and most of them gave a thumbs up to what Ann Romney had to say. The idea of Romney's speech was to improve the likability of her husband, Mitt Romney, since he's getting pummeled in the polls when it comes to that particular category, that element of, is he likable? And he's just, Obama's doubling him up. Of course, he's an incumbent president, and charisma is always Obama's thing. But do you think she did that? Do you think she achieved that?
Well, I think she went a long way as far as making Mitt Romney more likable, as you pointed out, Kate. And by the way, it's good to be with you. It's the first time I've ever heard the word rock stars and C-SPAN all in the same sentence, so that's pretty cool. But, the other thing is, it's not just a matter of likability, which is a broad and general dilemma for Mr. Romney, but it's also attracting the female voter. And especially with single women, but with a lot of married women as well, Barack Obama clearly polls much stronger than Mitt Romney in those demographics. Well, here you have the spouse of the president, the presidential candidate. I haven't heard anybody, even the harshest of opponents of Mitt Romney, I haven't heard any of them, Kate, suggest that Ann Romney was anything short of articulate and a very good speaker. And I think she certainly wowed the crowd. But here you have the spouse of the candidate really setting a very different tone for the candidate himself. Now, hopefully, he can follow that up in an effective way as far as making himself accessible to the female vote. But as you have spoken earlier, she made that quip about they don't have the storybook marriage. It's not idyllic. They're not perfect. She also made a real big point of saying, hey, listen, sure, my husband is a blessed man. He acknowledges that. He had a lot of opportunity extended to him, but he built it. He created the success. It wasn't guaranteed or just handed down to him. That goes a long way, I believe, as well, as far as making both of these people, Mitt Romney in particular, I guess more humanized and more relatable to everyday people, men and women both.
Then, of course, the other speech, besides everybody was watching to see what was going to happen with Ann Romney, the other thing was what we were going to really hear from Governor Chris Christie from New Jersey. And people like him. He has that whole Jersey thing that's working for him, as you know, Austin. Kind of hard scrabble, bigger guy, and he just tells it like it is, or certainly so people think. And Christie was a guy who was asked to consider a run as president, and he decided not to do that, even also to consider the VP, and he didn't go for that spot either. However, people really embrace him, love this guy, and he hit Obama hard, but he also managed to prop up Romney and himself at the same time. Would you give him high marks for his speech?
I would. I think it could have been better, in all fairness and in all candor, but I think he fulfilled those roles. I think you're characterizing his role in this whole thing very effectively, Kate. I mean, Governor Christie is the guy who stands up to the playground bully. He uses that bully language and metaphor to talk about government and police unions, for example. And he's not afraid to throw a punch back. And, you know, he's the governor will go out to a press conference, and if there's a heckler in the back room, he'll just say, hey, shut up. You know, it's my turn to talk. And I think there's huge appeal across America. I think Americans generally are hungering for leadership that's willing to call it as one sees it and to be so straightforward. I can't imagine Mitt Romney telling a heckler in the crowd to shut up, but with Chris Christie, it works. It's just who he is. So I think he played the role very effectively. A lot of us across the country, myself included, who would have liked to have seen Chris Christie run a presidential campaign himself, and I think he would have made a fine a vice presidential selection as well. But I think he kept his brand alive last night and served Mr. Romney and Paul Ryan very effectively all at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with you, absolutely. And I was disappointed, to be honest, too, because I thought he would have been, I call it the undercard, I thought he would have been great on the undercard, but he didn't want to play that role. He wanted to stay where he was. In looking so far at what's happening at the RNC, the first day, of course, goes down to Isaac, would you say that things are going the way the strategist wanted them to roll out so far? I mean, we haven't heard Romney, and there's still a lot of great speakers to come, including, you know, Condoleezza Rice, who will be speaking later tonight. But how would you say the Republicans are faring?
I think the convention is going quite well, especially with the sort of truncated and uncertain beginnings. I was at the RNC in Minnesota back in 2008, and there were concerns about a slow start and things didn't get off the ground the way they were supposed to. And I observed firsthand, Kate, how distracting and frustrating those were. And there were no threats of a hurricane at that point. So there was a huge distraction at the beginning of the week, and I think they've gotten over that hurdle. Whether or not it's what the consultants want it, I don't know. But I think it's based on television and radio audience survey data that I've been able to see and public opinion polls. I think it's what Americans wanted to see, or at least it's resonating with them. So I call that a victory.
Yeah, how funny is it that NBC drew the most viewers, 5.3 million, ABC, 2.3 million?
Yeah, that's
just an observation.
Yeah, just an observation. That's right. Yeah.
You know, because they're tagged as the leftist as left can be network. So, although NBC, they certainly have put out the banner, too. You have a new book called The Virtues of Capitalism. I say all the time, and I sometimes get creamed for it, or I have people really embrace it. I talk a lot about this. I talk a lot about business on my show. I have economists on. I talk to all kinds of people about where we're headed. I just had someone on in the manufacturing world talking about what's happening with taxes and ultimately what could happen with the corporate tax and how the money could bounce back in the right direction. So this is music to my ears. I'm your audience. Tell me about The Virtues of Capitalism.
Well, the capitalistic free market economic system is the most virtuous, the most fair economic system the world has ever known, flawed and imperfect as it is. The unfortunate thing is the word capitalism is kind of a curse word in the minds of many. But then you break it down kind of the way you're doing, Kate. You break it down in conversations with people who say, ooh, capitalism. I remember walking into a bookstore once just to see if my book was on the shelf, and I asked the clerk, I said, I'm looking for a title. Can you help me? And I said, it's called The Virtues of Capitalism. And the clerk kind of rolled her eyes and said, what virtues? Or there are none, or something to that effect. But you break it down, and you start talking about these fundamental rules of fairness, like you do a day's work, you do a day's pay. You do reckless and foolish things with your money, and you lose. You do productive and prosperous, prosperity-producing things with your money, you win, and you get to keep most of the spoils of your labor. I mean, you break it down into very basic moral and ethical fundamentals like that, and people say, well, yeah, that's the way it should be. And that is the capitalistic economic system. So in the book, I really break that down and make the point to say, listen, a competitive free market economy, it produces virtue, and it requires virtue. It requires that you and I, Kate, and everybody else listening to us, do the absolute best that they know how to do at their work, day in and day out, or they lose. That's a great incentive to be productive. And when government steps in and says, well, you can't do it on your own, so we'll just give you unemployment benefits for an indefinite period of time, or, oh, gee whiz, you ran your company into the ground. Well, you're too big to fail. We need to bail you out. We're incentivizing people to continue being reckless. We've got a lot of that going on in our country right now. I believe the Obama presidency has brought about some very dangerous trends that move in that direction. And Lord willing, Mitt Romney will be the next president and will be able to undo some of this mess.
We only have 40 seconds left, but Romney, you think he takes this thing? Handicap it for us.
Boy, I still think Barack Obama has the edge at this juncture. The power of the incumbency cannot be overestimated, especially not in the case of Barack Obama. But, Kate, all the trends, and we'll see what happens after the Democrat convention.
Yeah.
But even prior to this convention, all the trends were moving in Mitt Romney's favor. So I think he certainly can, and I pray and hope that he will.
Yep. Austin Hill, continued success. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Kate, always good to be with you. Have fun in Tampa.
Thanks. I will. Thanks. Thanks, Austin.
Okay. Does that work okay for you?
That was great. You were great. We always have good
company.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we, the people, can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights.
We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.